Chapter 36, God as a verb, 2023. Chapter 36, God as a verb, 2023. Isaiah 60, let's start with a scripture, New King James Version. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the truth, cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. If you don't get that, read it again until you do, or I'll do it for you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Wow. Like I said, if you don't get that, read it again until you do. At my age, I've tried many things. Some might say everything worth trying. Maybe. I'm not too sure about that, but I do know a couple things. Time is not on my side, and things are not always as they seem. Time is not on my side, and things are not always as they seem. Things require an in-depth look rather than an accepting at face value kind of thinking. The to-do list should include the word immediately. I know that. The to-do list should include the word immediately instead of tomorrow. Unless, of course, somebody is trying to talk you into something. Then it's best to sleep on it. Give it a day. Those are some of the things that I have learned over time. Having said that, there is something else. There is something else. Prayer and reading the Word. Oh, sounds like a broken record, Pat. Say it all the time. Good. My head is pretty thick, and so is yours. I hope it gets through. I notice, by the way, that I don't pray as well or as clearly when I don't read the Word. I'm telling you, it's huge. You know, it's huge. I can't pray very well when I'm not reading the Word. So listen carefully. Generally, I pray after I read. And I'm grateful for what I've learned in the actual reading of the book and the commentary that I might pick after the study. I got to know what's going on. Sometimes I don't get it. God speaks to me through that book. I'm not anything special. So if he speaks to me, he's certainly going to speak to you. I didn't know that that could happen until I did it many times. I tested it many times. Now, always mentioning I need this, I want this, I'm afraid of this, this bothers me, and ultimately I then begin a horrible struggle of whether God is listening to me. Why? Why? Because I go in circles if I don't read the Word. If I don't read the Word, I got to tell you, without that reading, my prayers, they go in circles, right? Circular. You know what I'm talking about? I need, I want, I'm afraid, this bothers me. It's the same every day. And then the things that do happen that are good, I forget to say, hey, by the way, that was good and this was good. Without the Word, I run out of information. Hello? And what happens? I begin that horrible struggle of whether God is listening. Is he there? And the worst of all these notions, is all this real? Suddenly, I'm in terror of that feeling. I don't like that feeling, and neither do you. And then suddenly, if I'm still not in the Word, I pray in a seriously upset desperation inside of myself. And then I remember, this always happens when I'm not reading the Word, right? It always happens when I'm not doing what he tells me to do. If I read the Word, I'll calm down. Yearning for direction and coming up with ridiculous measures instead of the simplest of solutions that are the wisdom of God. I come up with all kinds of stuff. We talk about that. Well, it sounds like a broken record, Pat. Good. It's not broken. It's a record you should listen to all the time, just like me. I must read if I want to lead. Otherwise, I simply don't hear him. The world becomes a hideous place where I am alone and pointless, my existence questioned by every waking moment of the night. I never want to be without God or in doubt. King David said it best, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 51, 10, 12, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You dig what that says? Can you dig what he's saying? He's saying, don't leave me. Keep the Holy Spirit in me. This came long before Acts, when we saw the Holy Spirit descend on the apostles. This came long before that. So clearly David knew of the Holy Spirit. God had shown him. Chapter 36, this is the mother of all chapters. Look, it's easy for me to teach anybody, believer, not believer, 1 to 35. Easy button. Even non-believers can get behind Making Money with God, chapter 1. Because up until 36, people can believe in a God any way they want. They can make up a higher power the way they see it. In many cultures, they invent what the higher power looks like. Doesn't matter if it's a doorknob, an animal, or some super powerful animated hero. But for me, 36 is where the rubber meets the road. Jesus is the Messiah. He rose from the dead, will return for his church. The rapture is real. He will sit at the Bema seat to assess the heart of believers, will return to conquer the Antichrist in the second coming, and will sit in the end on the white throne judgment. Without believing that God is God, the one in the Bible, the Father, who can only be found through the Son, Jesus Christ, without this single belief, the promises mean nothing, and I can't use them to prevail over my problems. What are the promises? Well, there's a ton of them, man. I couldn't mention them all, right? There's a ton of them. But I'll give you some of the high points, right? God promised that if we search for him, we will find him. Deuteronomy 4:29. God promised that his love will never fail. 1 Chronicles 16:34. God promised comfort in our trials. 2 Corinthians 1-3. God promised a new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. God promised our inheritance is reserved for us. 1 Peter 1:4. God promised to finish the work he started in us. Oh, that's a big one. Philippians 1:6. God promised peace when we pray. There it is, man. Philippians 4:6-7. God promised to supply our needs, not our wants, our needs. Matthew 6:33, Philippians 4:19. Jesus promised abundant life to those who follow him, John 10:10. Jesus promised eternal life to those who trust him, John 4:14. Jesus promised his disciples power from on high. Wow, dig that. Jesus promised his disciples power from on high, Acts 1, verse 8. In that power, they turned the world upside down, Acts 17:6. Jesus promised that he will return for us, John 14:2-3. There are many more promises of God that could be listed. All of them find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the radiance of God's glory, Hebrews 1, verse 3. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes, only in Christ, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Look, I've tried different ways through the years to explain 36, and this time, I'm just going to tell you how I see it, what happened. Let Scripture fall where it does. In the past, I've tried to tell it with stories of men in the book, what they did, what they didn't do, how they relied or didn't on God. I tried with my four principles. The four principles of the Reddit Corp, giving examples of behavior that replicates a true believer. Don't get me wrong. They are all entertaining and trustworthy in content. And as I read over them over the last 10 years, I think, well, that's all groovy. But this time, let's just call it what it is. I gotta believe in Jesus. To use God as a verb, I gotta believe in Jesus. In this 36, either I believe in the God of the Bible or I don't. And if I believe every word in that book that describes the Father, then I also know the only way to the Father is through the Son. But I can get there. I can choose to get there. I can have the mercy, grace, and love of God. And if I believe in the Son, I believe that Christ is the Messiah. I can do that. I can choose that he rose from the dead and conquered death for our sins. I don't have to buy it from anywhere. I can do it. In addition, by nothing I have done. I don't have to do anything. Just believe it. By nothing I have done. No trick, no special thing, no good deed, no nothing. I have been given the gift of eternal salvation through the blood of the Lamb, given me for nothing I have earned. Rather, simply by the blood of Christ and my belief in the cross, I will go to heaven, and those promises are mine. And my time on earth will be blessed. If I get that, God is a verb starts here. If I don't, get this. If I get all that, God is a verb starts here. If I don't, the rest of the chapters 36 through 50 don't matter. And from this moment on, my limitations become my higher power. I am completely restricted without wisdom, knowledge, and discernment of God. All doors that could have been opened become walls, and all walls are made of paper mache, and there is nothing on the other side of them. Do you dig that? If I don't believe in the God of the Bible, everything moving forward doesn't mean anything. All the chapters that I wrote, 37 to 50, doesn't matter. The promises don't matter. I can't wield the authority and the power of God for any reason. It's not mine. I said no. I'm on course to wherever a breeze or the whim of the world takes me. I am in control of nothing, and nothing is my master. 36 is harsh, real, and everything I needed at the time. When this came to me, when it was given to me, it is as pertinent then as it is now. The ball is always in my court to believe. And that's always the challenge for the enemy, to get me not to believe. Oh, that's a bad one, to believe and then not believe. But we'll talk about that. If I buy the Bible and I believe God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are truly discovered and explained in the living Word of God, and that the book is the primary map, get this, the map of the past, present, and future. It's a history book from the beginning of the world to the end. And it's true. It's a true history book. Without God in it, it's a history book. But with God in it, whoa. If I believe that, there is no limitation or restriction to my salvation, success, or destiny. No limitations. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. I know you guys like that. CEOs of corporations that want to take over the world. Well, do you? Do you really? Do you really want to take over the world? I'm good to go. If I believe this stuff in the Bible, I'm good to go. And my God is a turbocharger blasting me into the fourth dimension above and beyond my grasp or understanding. Life, in short, is T-minus 3 seconds to lift off, and the rockets are hot. Delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny. Dig it, kids. The Jews could have saved themselves 40 years. You know, if we have to go back into the Bible, well, I had so many stories in the past, and I tried to make my point. And God said to me this time, your story's the point, pal. Your story's the point. Tell them your story. But I can't do that entirely, Lord, without saying some of the truth that happened to our predecessors. The Jews could have saved themselves 40 years of walking around in the desert if they just would have believed and followed through, but they didn't. As it is written, many died for it too. Many died for it, struck down for their disobedience. Oh, it's harsh. The window of opportunity was closed, and they walked around for 40 years when they could have just had it. It's harsh. Not picking God is harsh. Do I really want that in my life? No, I don't. I've caused problems in my life. Can you believe that? Oh, I bet you can. Oh, I bet you can. I have caused problems in my life and had to bring it all to the Lord. Finally, it was such a disastrous mess to believe it all. I mean, you can believe it all. It was a mess. I had to bring it all to the Lord for forgiveness and for Him to sort it all out. Did I bring it to Him? Yes, I did. Did it work? Yes, it did. Do I still blow it? Yes, I do. In him, we straighten it out. When God opens a door for me, I want to run through it. Why? I want the key of David. When I read about that, I want the key of David. Sounds like an Indiana Jones movie, doesn't it? I want to find the key of David. And I'm guessing so do you. Why do I think that? Because I know what it is. Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Bet you want the key of David too. I bet Indiana Jones would want it, right? I bet we all want it, but we forget. Without it, we are weak. With it, we are weak. But with it, we are with God, and nobody can shut a door on you that he has opened. Ask not what God can do for you in your prayers, but what you can do for God. The Ten Commandments, there they are, to remind me why I need Christ. Only God could forgive me for all the sinning I do and have done, and you too. Have I broken all Ten Commandments in there? I hesitate to think about it, right? Jesus paid the price for all the sins, past, present, and future. We get a second chance every day. Adam caused the problem, didn't he? Adam caused the problem for Eve. He didn't watch out for Eve, did he? What was she doing in front of the tree? What was she doing over there? And where was Adam, for crying out loud? But as it is written, Adam caused it, Christ fixed it. Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Dude, Adam messed up, Christ fixed it. People ask me all the time, how come this happened? Why it's so harsh? Disobedience causes big problems. Eve could have lived forever and conceived children that lived forever. In sin, she could no longer live forever. So how could she conceive children who could live forever? Sin is very dangerous. I had to get it through my thick skull that there's rules. Yeah, I believe. But there's rules to abide by. I can't always stick to them, but I'm trying. My aim is true, either for the good or not. I'm for Christ or I'm not. Matthew 12, 30, 31. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. What's that? That's saying that God does not exist. God does not exist. The Holy Spirit does not exist. I have studied it and it doesn't exist. Oh, that's a bad one. I have studied it. I have looked at it. I have believed in it and now I don't. Oh, that's a bad one. Blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. When you have been given the knowledge and you say you have it, oh, hard one. Romans 2, 6 through 8. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. By the way, I thought about that one for a long time. There will be wrath and anger from God. I thought about that. You know, that can be wrath and anger from me. When I find myself in hell, wrath and anger, my own anger at where I am and how God could do this to me, well, this Romans is hard, man. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. You got to keep trying. We know we falter, but got to keep trying. But for those who keep trying, self-seeking, and reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Just doesn't sound good, right? Just doesn't sound good. People say, hey, the God I have is a God of love. He wouldn't do that. There isn't any hell. Look, I got to believe this book. If I don't believe chapter 36, I can't have the promises. I have to believe the God of the book. There aren't any options. I don't get to say, well, I think I'll go shopping back at the God store and see if I can find one I like that works out for me. I can do that up to chapter 36. I can do it up to chapter 36. People do it all the time. And they do better in their businesses. They go up to chapter 36. But if you want the gold, you want the title, you want the all that's available, 36 is where the rubber meets the road, man. I got to believe in Christ so that 37 through 50 can belong to me, belong to you. Wielding the power that the Lord allows is a big responsibility. Big. Prove yourself well and push for a better you. Prove yourself. Push. And when you fall, keep pushing. Get up. In his grace and mercy, you can get up. Get up and push. Psalms 146:3. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there.
Let's think about that for a second. If I align myself with the following people, I will do great. Let me see if I can make them believe in me.
Oh, we've all had those thoughts before. We've all tried to do it before. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. 36 is a choice. Otherwise, where do I stand with my business, my life? Is there some person that could make my dreams come true? Is that the way I want to walk my path? Chasing after the coattails of who? Comparing myself to others? Somebody? No, I don't want that. I don't want that, neither do you. I want to be fulfilled in what God has planned for me right now. Right now in this moment. What he's got planned for me right now. Right now. Right now, in this moment. Praying for what you want is dangerous. Pray for what his will be done. Pray for his will be done at all. Across the board. Every thought and conversation of a gathering. When I go out, when I have meetings, now there's Zoom calls all over the world, And when you show up, it's always the same thing, right? It's always the same thing. Every thought and conversation of a gathering is preparing for the future, isn't it? Huh? Everybody. How do you prepare for the future, son? Is in God's way or men? Do you prepare in God's way or men? Mostly, I hear about, in all these gatherings, we talk about the future. So we plan for the future, so when we get there, everything is good, and we can live comfortably in the future. All well and good, it's all gravy. We planned for it, and now we're here. We're always planning, getting more, how to get more. So when we get there, wherever there is, we're doing something, man. We're killing it. Think about that while I read this scripture. Luke 12, 19, 21. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. So is he who lays up treasure. So is he. This is the guy who laid up treasure for himself, but he wasn't rich towards God. You might say, well, I am rich towards God and I plan for the future. Think about it. My will, his will. And how many times have you seen, have I seen people say, hey, I can kick it back. I did everything I got to do. You know, I'm good. Now I'm good. Or how many people do I say, I'm going to set it all up, so I'm good. I'm good. That's another one. This guy clearly made it. This guy made it, right? He made it. And then God said, what are you going to do? You're going to die tonight. You're going to die tonight. Where's all that stuff going to go? Who's going to get all that stuff you stored up? You're not going to get it. You're going to die. Think about this is the guy. The next guy is the guy who's planning on it. Planning. James 4, 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You're going to do all this stuff for what? Today, there is so much to be happy and grateful for. You don't have any time to do it because you're living in the future. I got to do. Listen, I had to learn this stuff. My business is doing great. I plan every day for what I'm doing. It's on the list. I know we have to have a balance of right, wrong, good, and bad, present, past, future. We have to have forecasts, this, that, accounting, all that jazz. But I don't forget that I am not of this world. If I believe in God, I'm not of this world. And I need to take my time to enjoy what God has given me, take care of it, and give praise and honor to the Lord, what he's given me. Look, my business didn't grow instantly into an awesome. Wait a minute. My business didn't instantly grow into awesome the moment I turned to the Lord. Get that in your head. Wait a minute. Because it's a setup, really. You know, like, it's really, naturally, it's a setup. Look, my business didn't instantly grow into awesome the moment I turned to the Lord. Oh, wait. Yes, it did. Oh, wait. Yes, it did. The day I said, God, direct me and I will obey, that moment, things began to change. My opportunities fell from the sky. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And with opportunity came a whole lot of growing pains. A whole lot of growing pain. And I had to ask the Lord every day to help me with all of it. And I still do. You know how he helps? With more challenge, more lessons, more uncomfortable inconvenience and pain. As I look back on it now, I see that it was everything I needed to proceed in the miracles he had given me as it is today. Job 5:17, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Blessed is the one who God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. 36 is where I ride my destiny. 36 is where I ride my destiny or fate overtakes me. Let me say it again, kids. Mute your phone. Whoever just came in, mute your phone. This is important stuff. 36 is where I ride my destiny or fate overtakes me. Am I to be? All right, we're going to try one more time. Super important. People are listening. Mute your phone. This is coming up on the end. This is the big ending. Mute your phone. Am I to be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny or remain a shadow of what I could have been? Oh, let me say it again. I say it to myself. I said this so many years ago. Am I to be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny or remain a shadow of what I could have been? Whatever idea I come up with would only be a shadow of what God could have made me. I don't want that. What is God as a verb? I answer that question now for chapter 36. What is God as a verb? Acceptance, obedience, discernment of the Spirit in all practical matters through prayer and the exact word of Scripture. And finally, the request of the Father through the Son for the mercy and grace to prevail in what challenges may be his to yield and mine to do. For the mercy and grace to prevail in what challenges may be his to yield and mine to do. The prayer I say, my Lord, your will be done With me, do what you will. In the strength provided, I must obey. Seems to be a repeat day, doesn't it? I think I got to repeat everything. My Lord, your will be done. With me, do what you will. In the strength provided, I must obey. I must obey. Amen. Chapter 36, God is a verb. Where the rubber meets the road, kids. John, let's see how we do today.